Good morning. It's great to see you guys. My name is Steve Tomlinson. I'm one of the teaching pastors of Shelter Rock Church, and this is my first chance to be speaking here in this chapel, and I know it's transitionary, and if you're newer here, we're going to be in here only for a brief period of time, and then we're going to be switching to our hopefully more stable facility, and I think we're looking forward to everything that God is doing here at the Westbury campus. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a moment in your life that you knew this changes everything? I mean, it's like one of those moments you know things are going to be looked at differently. As I was pondering that question myself, and a memory came to my mind when I was 17 years old. I was working for the entire summer at a camp in upstate New York called Word of Life, and I was a cook at the Ranger Camp. Now, here was the staff breakdown. There were 14 17-year-old women working there and two guys. I was one of the two guys. We were, the employees. And I thought, this is, like, amazing, And the other guy, he was not into dating. I was, But they had strict rules. You could not go on a date unless you had three people. And you could never get closer than 100 feet to the girls' cabins. And there is never any close physical contact. They called it the 6-inch rule at all times. And I'm pretty legalistic, and I wanted to honor all these rules. But it was the night before the last day of camp. We were all going home the next day. And the staff all had like a kind of a farewell party. Well, there was this girl that I started kind of liking in the last month of camp, the month of August. Her name was Elaine. And we went on our three-person date a couple times, and we always honor the rule, never game closer than 6 inches. But at the end of camp, after that party was over, it's now like 10 o'clock at night, I walk Elaine up to 100 feet to the girls' cabins, which is the closest we could go. And I said, "Good night, Elaine." And she said, "Good night, Steve." And I turned around to walk. And as I'm walking, I'm thinking, "Steve, this is a moment. Don't blow this. If you turn around and go back to her, what are they going to do? Kick you out? You leave tomorrow anyway." So I turn around and I say, "Elaine?" And she turns, and I leaned in, and I kissed her. Now, this was my first kiss that I ever had with a girl. I mean, that wasn't like a peck on the cheek from Aunt Matilda, It was like fireworks went off. I mean, it was such a big deal. It was so exciting. And then after we kissed, she said, "Good night, Steve." And when I went back to the cabin, I'm walking in like this. And all the guys in the cabin said, "What happened?" They could tell something happened. I knew from that moment I'd be doing a lot of kissing. Because that was an event that changed everything. Now, as time goes on, Michelle, my wife, became the recipient of that kissing as life moved on. But there are certain events that change us. I mean, do you remember the first person you bumped into who had one of these, an iPhone? And I mean the first generation iPhone. And we're all like looking at it, borrowing it, and like, "Whoa, that's really cool, man." Would we say that iPhones change things? I mean, there are certain events. Well, you heard read during the worship set an event that for Luke is probably the most important event, short of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, in the book of Acts. And we had a long section of scripture read during that worship set about Cornelius having a vision, this Gentile, about Peter having a vision, this Jewish man, and suddenly God bringing these two people together. More time is spent by Luke talking about the gospel going to the Gentiles than any other issue in the entire book of Acts. It is a big deal. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to Brooklyn and you've gone to some of the Jewish Orthodox areas. They are very separate. They are to themselves. They dress differently. They go to different stores. Their whole world revolves around their Jewish Orthodoxy. Now, that was the world that Peter grew up in. Peter grew up in a world you don't hang out with Gentiles. You don't talk to Gentiles. By no means would you have your daughter meet a Gentile young man. All those boundaries were there. If you went to the Temple Mount where the Lord God is worshipped, there are places that if a Gentile who was a God-fearer, interested in the things of God, he could not enter the inner court because that was not for Gentiles. Such strong divisions. And yet, God speaks to Cornelius in a vision and says, send for Peter. Now the centurion is like, really? Invite a Jewish man into my house? Will he come? Lord says, yeah, he's coming. And now for Peter, right at the time he's like smelling lunch, getting ready for food, this blanket, this canvas comes down, filled with every kind of food a good Jewish person would never eat. Have a BLT, have pork ribs. I mean, all these things. And he's like, never, Lord. I have never eaten anything like that. And then the Lord says to him, do not call unclean that which God has declared as clean. Three times this happens. And then comes the knock on the door. And Peter realizes this is what it's about. And now the earth shatters. Peter goes to not only meet, but enter the home of a Gentile named Cornelius. And the key verse I want to draw your attention to is this is what we'll see on the screen, is this. Verse 34 of chapter 10, then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. Everything changed. Everything changed. In fact, most of us in this room are not Jewish. We're here because of this vision that Peter had. And this is at the heart of the gospel. God is breaking down boundaries. God is bringing people together that would not be together previously. All centered on this one great truth that God so loved this world that he gave his son to live among us, to heal our sick, to die for our sins, and to be raised victoriously from the dead. And this is not just good news for one kind of person, one color of person. It is good news for all of humanity. And this changes everything. So this Sunday is going to be a little different in that we're going to have some reports of our summer mission trips that we went on. Now, the reason we're doing this on this topic is because the reason we're going on these trips to other lands, to other places, is because of what happened with Peter. It means that we can't keep this to ourselves. And so that we need to bring the gospel, we need to bring the compassion of Jesus Christ to people who are different than us. It is what we are called to do. And so what we're going to see is some brief videos, some brief interviews with people who went away on these trips. And we're going to start off with Pastor Jack Crabtree went off to Belize with a group of around 20 people to build a house and minister in other ways. Let's check out what happened at Belize by way of video. sound pretty cool. Arnold and Loretta, come on up. And these guys went, you probably saw them in the video. And what we want to know is, tell us, what was this like, going to this land, building a house, and all the things that were involved?
Well, it was a great experience to go there. One of the things I love is that at the end of the week, you have something tangible to look at, which is a house. What I love is that the family that received it, we actually got to see, if you saw in the video, the family that we built a house for last year. They had been praying for a home for 7 years, and they were in a shelter, United Nations. And when I say shelter, it's really a tent. And so they had a home. We saw them back. Last year, they couldn't speak English. This year, they were speaking English. The children are in school. He's got a job. And so, you know, they just, the house was expanded upon. They had electricity added, the cesspool added, so there's plumbing. So it's just, you know, a complete family turned around for generations to come. So that's one of the things we love. And some other things we like is the God moments that always show up. You saw some baptisms in there. There were 3 baptisms planned. We ended up with 5. We did a summer school, taught, Loretta was involved in that a lot, teaching 100 kids. So we're planning to touch about 100 somewhat lives. And then during the build, we get interrupted, and there's a media that comes by, and they're inviting us to a TV show called Rise and Shine. It's their national TV morning show. And Jack, Ron got to share. I got to sing 2 songs live. So, you know, all of a sudden we're reaching, you know, the equivalent of probably like 100 Easter services. So, you know, it's, those are things you don't plan for. It's just God doing his thing. So.
How did that feel?
Awesome.
Yeah. That is so cool, Arnold.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Loretta?
Yes. What really touched me is being part of the children ministry. Each day we have over 93, close to 100, and sometimes more. And these kids really have a yearning to be taught. They love the teaching. They usually learn more during the summer than being in school on a regular school day. And they're so grateful. And they indicate how much they enjoyed it and their love for us, and they told us they're going to miss us. And it's amazing that those kids think long term. They ask us, are we going to be there again next year? You know, and it's truly amazing. They're so grateful. And as Arnold said, the baptism was quite touching, you know. God showed up when it was 3, and then suddenly, you know, five brothers and sisters were there. It's truly amazing. Yeah.
Well, we thank you guys that you were ambassadors from Shelter Rock Church in the name of Jesus Christ to the nation of Belize. Let's give them a word of thanks. But one of the things I love about Shelter Rock Church, it's not just about the grown-ups. We start young on inspiring people to go on mission trips. And so we sent our kids to York, Pennsylvania to stretch them. Let's check this video and see what that was like.
Lives on.
So now I'd like to invite Grace, come on up, and she is our representative from York, Pennsylvania mission trip. We are so thrilled that you're here. And, you know, this guy Arnold, he's sung to, you know, thousands of people by way of television. This is a bigger deal for you to come up in front of people. So tell us what you learned on your trip, what you had fun with. What was some of the things you did?
Well, we went to a nursing home to help the residents there. We transported them to their activities, and it was really fun seeing them having fun doing all their activities.
Now, Miss Leslie said, or Pastor Leslie said, that you were some of the best behaved kids that she's ever seen in a mission trip. Did you think that was the case? Were you guys pretty good?
Yeah.
So she knows it. What was your favorite moment yourself?
I think my favorite was doing the church service, because we had a church service with them. We got to sing songs of worship with them as well, and we also got to sing all together, so it was a lot of fun.
Did it feel good helping people?
Yes, very fun.
Is this something you'd like to do again sometime?
Yeah, I really want to do it again.
Look at that. And you grown-ups, take note. Would you give any encouragement for people thinking about going on a mission trip that they should go on one?
Yeah, because it's a lot of fun, not only doing the nursing home, but doing it with all of your friends, and it's a lot of fun.
Well, we are so grateful that you went and you came back to share with us. Thank you so much. Let's give her a big hand again. Thank you. Well, there's a place we've been going now for several years, and it's really made a big impact. It's actually our biggest mission trip that we have, and that is to Nicaragua. I had the chance myself to go to Nicaragua, not this year and not with our missions trip, but it is the second poorest nation in the North and South America after Haiti. And we have had the chance to impact this area. Let's take a look at the video and then have our interview. Okay, Bill, come on up. Yeah, let's welcome him. Now, let me introduce Bill. Bill has had a heart for Nicaragua for years, even before Shelter Rock Church was involved. But tell us about this trip and kind of your heart for Nicaragua and how this contributes to it.
Sure. This trip was really fantastic. Along with the medical clinic, the VBS, the construction work, this year it was kind of like a vision. I saw a vision come true. We had seven men take 35 teenage boys from the worst neighborhood in Managua, La Chereca, which is actually the garbage dump. We took these teenage boys away to a soccer camp. And the goal of the camp was to take these basically street kids and to treat them as though they were elite professional athletes. And we ran a, like they would do here in the States, a first class camp, and we really treated these boys with respect. And the first couple of days was brutal. I think I broke up a million fistfights. But then the boys really, really responded. They bought in. And there was this one boy, though, who wasn't buying in. He was probably the most difficult teenager I've ever come across in my life.
And he's a school teacher.
Yeah. And he was really, really troubled. And the last night, Pastor Fernando, who I know you know, he was sharing the gospel. And that was kind of the culmination of all our teachings. And right before we're going into the chapel, this kid gets in a knockdown, drag-out fist fight. And I'm thinking, oh, boy. So we go into the chapel, and he's kind of in timeout. And about halfway through, the pastor sharing with the boys, this young man, Moises, walks in. And he's sitting there, and he's really got a bad attitude. He's got his shirt over his head. And I thought, oh, my gosh, this boy, my thought was, I hate to admit it, he's hopeless. And I just felt like, oh, pray for the kid, right? So I started praying for him. And then I noticed he moved up a row. Then I noticed he moved up another row. Then I noticed he's sitting right in the front. And when Pastor Fernando, he gave an altar call, this boy was the first one up.
Amen.
And it was really powerful. And I thought, oh my goodness, it was extremely powerful. And the next day, I'm at breakfast, and I made it a point to eat every meal with this boy. One, to encourage him, but two, to keep an eye on him. And I sat down with him, and he taps me on the shoulder, and he points to his hand, and he'd drawn a cross and a heart on his hand. And then this was amazing, and this is kind of what I needed too, I think. The boy looked at me, and in English, I don't know how he learned it, but he looked at me and he says, Bill, I'm really going to miss you. And it was funny because before the trip, I thought, elite soccer camp. Now, God had put that on my heart, but I thought, I'm really not the guy. I've had knee replacement. I've had hip replacement. I had three surgeries for skin cancer on my face.
We're glad you made it up here, Bill.
Yeah, exactly. I said, Lord, you know, I'll support this, but I'm not the guy. And I felt like God just said, you know what? Show up. And to top it off, my Spanish isn't good either. So I showed up. And I said, all right, what am I going to do? We have these young people running the camp, and they were wonderful. And I felt like God say, learn every kid's name right away. Learn a couple of encouraging phrases in Spanish and be a cheerleader for 4 days. And that's what I did. And my takeaway was it was amazing to me. A little investment of time, show some love, and it really goes a long way. And I felt like God say to me, Bill, just keep showing up, let me do the work, and it'll be fine.
Would you say that is a great theme for people considering going on a missions trip?
Totally.
Trust in the Lord.
Trust in the Lord. You know, you feel like you're inadequate. You may feel that way. I did. And just, you know what, when I'm at my weakest, that's when I see God work the most.
Thank you so much, Bill. That was awesome. Now, Pastor Corey was here. He'd say, can I get an amen? All right, that's good. Now, off on a mission trip and back safely for God's glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you for what you have done and what you are doing in the life of these students and adults. Lord, we know that you have poured out your love on Belize. You have poured out your love in York, Pennsylvania, on Nicaragua, and on Egypt. And Father, you allowed us to partner with your desire to spread your gospel everywhere. And we praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to wrap this up because this is a passage that we've just kind of touched upon, but then we moved into mission trips. But I want to return to that passage and read these pivotal words again. Again, this is Acts 10 in verse 34. It says, then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but in Greek, we would call this an adversative conjunctive. It is a strong separating word, but accepts every nation and the one who fears him and the one who does what is right. I just want to give three quick takeaways from this, and then we're going to go and wrap up our service. The first one is this. Jesus is calling us to expand our boundaries. He's calling us to expand our boundaries. You know what? I love what you said, Bill, about you went out of your way to talk and sit with that kid, keep him from fighting other things, but you decided to invest in that young man. And I want to ask you, where is the Lord asking you to increase your boundary? It could be who you eat with at the lunchroom where you work. It could be who you're willing to talk to on the first day of class at school. But he wants you to increase your boundaries, to open up. And maybe when you hear this winter, right around January, here are the mission trips we're doing this year. We're going back to Egypt, let's say, or we're going to go to Nicaragua, or maybe we're going to go to Belize, or maybe there is, if you talk to Pastor Jerry, he's always dreaming of the next place he wants to do a mission trip. Maybe you allow yourself for the Lord to speak to you and say, you know what, I want to go. I want to be a part. And some of our mission trips are family trips. You can bring the whole gang. And enjoy what God is doing. Here's the next thing. And this is important in light of this week, of this division and hate that we've seen in our country. What happened with Peter is that he's preaching. And while he's preaching, the Holy Spirit falls on the Gentiles. And the Jews that are with him, they're like, the Holy Spirit can go inside Gentiles too? The unclean vessels? The unifying power of the Holy Spirit changes hearts. It changes hearts. If you are in tune with the Spirit of God, if you said, Lord, fill me to the brim with your Holy Spirit, that's a simple prayer, but it's a powerful one. You know what? Black, white, yellow, brown, every color, every nationality begins to fade, and suddenly you see Jesus, and you're not caught up with all the things that separate us. You're caught up with the things that draw us together. And the power that brought that unity in that church was the power of the Holy Spirit. One of the things that I think, Bill, you've experienced when you've gone to Nicaragua time and time again, here are people who have a different culture, different language, and yet you know your heart is connecting with their heart because you're in love with the same Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. He lived, he died, he rose again. He's your Savior. He's my Savior. That is the unity that comes through the power of Jesus Christ. And finally is this. God is doing his work starting with you. Starting with you. Are you in a place, school, work, home, where there's division? Well, you know what? Maybe God is going to use you as his instrument to be the person who brings peace, who brings hope, by being filled with the Holy Spirit to see unity where there was division. What I love about this passage and what I love about these testimonies we heard today is that is the power of the gospel. If you think church is about being in a what sometimes people call the holy huddle, where we gather on Sunday morning and we praise the Lord and then we go out into the world and just live an average life. No! We are supposed to go out into this world and transform it. We are the light of Christ. If you see hate, you bring love. If you see division, you bring unity. And I love, again, Bill, I'm picking on you a lot, but breaking up fights. You know, it felt like you're breaking up 1,000 fights. But you know what? That's what we Christians do. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. I wrap up with this brief little story. I was surfing on the net and looking up my family history, which is fun sometimes to see if you can find anything. And I looked up my great-grandpa. Now, he became kind of a famous person in his circles because he actually started a Pentecostal denomination. They're all over the United States. It's called Church of God Cleveland. My great-grandfather was the first, what they call them, general overseer of that denomination. But this is the story I was reading. He got saved in 1890, and I found on the internet a picture of my grandpa praying. And I started crying. I started crying because I thought, because that guy met Jesus, I was raised in a Christian home that taught me that there is somebody who loved me so much that he gave his only son to die on my behalf. And I'm just looking at that picture of a man I never met and will not meet until glory. And you know what? A lot of my passwords have 1890 in them now. And, you know, don't be noodling around my computer, you know, trying to type in 1890. But I put that number there because that number means a lot to me. Because that was the day that God poured out his grace and my great-grandpa and saved him. And in turn, I was raised in a home that loved Jesus. And we now take that baton and run to the next place that God has for us. God is doing a new thing. He has taken people like Peter and he is sending them to Cornelius's house. And he's taken young women like Grace and sending them to York, Pennsylvania, Natalia to Egypt, Bill to Nicaragua, and Loretta and Arnold to Belize. He's doing that kind of thing and he's going to do it with you. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you that you are a missionary God, that you are a God who does not tolerate boundaries, racial divisions, hatred, but instead you give us the perfect portrait of love. Even as Jesus said, greater love has no one seen than this, that a man lays down his life for his friends. And then your son Jesus turned to the disciples and said, you're my friends, and I'm going to lay down my life for you. Father, I pray that this morning, as we've looked at some mission trip reports, as we've heard about the most crucial bridge being built in the book of Acts, that you will help us to build bridges in our hearts as we anticipate where you are going to lead us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.